morning. And welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westville. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, please know that you are welcome here. As people continue to come in, we have some announcements that we'd like to share with you. First of all, I need to say thank you to the large number of people who responded to a call for help on Thursday. It was wonderful. And we even shocked the people from the Westfield Food Pantry. So many thanks. I would try to list by name, but I'm going to forget somebody. So again, just thank you all for your help. It was wonderful. We had, besides the meal that the food pantry provided, we had about, I think it was over 200 sandwiches and meals and things ready to go that we could send out. And a lot of that was, I mean, people brought in the extras, but we received 100 sandwiches from the Southwick Civic Fund. And they did those over at Malicious. And Southwick Feeding Hills 4-H gave us 70 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So. And then plus all the people from our church who came to help. Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, if you missed that opportunity to be of service, this Tuesday, you can sign up right out in the hallway because it's our turn for the community table. Now, one of the reasons why we sent the sandwiches home was because they closed the community table because they didn't have air conditioning. I think what's going to happen is we're going to do all of our meals to go. That's what I had heard from Cindy in the office, Cindy LaPlante in the office. So our meals are going to be done to go, so that regardless, we're going to get word out. If they're not open, we're feeding people anyway. So we're going to take care of that. If you can be of assistance, please sign up out in the hallway. A reminder, and I will tell us this before we leave, there is no church here next week. We're all worshiping together out in Southwick at 11. What does this mean? Number one, you get to sleep a little bit. Number two, you get to go out for breakfast. All right? You can be one of those people that I growl at hash house or whatever, but you can do that. But we're going to have a cookout after church. Southwick has their own grill. So we're going to cook out. We're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs. They're going to provide salads. I was hoping I could ask our friends at First Congregational if we could provide desserts. Brownies, cookies, nothing fancy. No, nothing on fire, please. So if we could do that, just bring things. It's going to be potluck. Nobody has to sign up for anything. If we end up with 4 trays of brownies, we'll be happy if you will like it. Tonight, 7 o'clock, United Methodist Church. There is a pride prayer service. And again, that's at 7 o'clock at the Methodist Church. Everybody is invited to that. Everyone's invited. And I know Daniel has some announcements. Amy has some announcements.
Hi, good morning. Two quick announcements. Next Saturday is Nobleview Party Day. Up at Nobleview. 10 o'clock, I think we're heading out at 10, is that right, Alice? 10. And then we'll have burgers and dogs and plenty of cold water. And if you would like to bring a salad or something sweet, we'd love to see you up there. I have another announcement. It's an update on Elizabeth Nygaard. She's doing fine. Her house is not. She lives in a retirement village in Agawam called
Well,
at 5:30 on Friday night, it was struck by lightning and set on fire. And they have evacuated the whole list of Agawam, I think the Agawam, Long Meadow, Westfield, West Spring. There's like a whole ton of fireworks there. They cut the roof open and, you know, it was in the rafters. Elizabeth is fine. She and her daughters left for a week's vacation that had been planned in Vermont. So I think that's the best case for her. And we'll take it as it comes. A wonderful church family is fostering her cat. That's good because I don't do cats. My dogs don't do cats. So just keep her in her prayers. As I said, she's doing fine. It's a very uncertain time for her. We do not know what the state of that building is. They shipped everyone that didn't have rescuers off to someplace in East Longmeadow, Bluebird or something. So it's an interesting time, and hopefully everyone survives the storms this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you to everybody who volunteered for VBS. There is going to be a leaders meeting, so anybody that signed up to help at VBS, Tuesday at 6 p.m. here, probably in Fellowship Hall because it's cooler than I think the park where it is a little toasty.
Yeah.
So anybody that is interested, if you're not able to make it, please see me and let me know. I'm actually going to call people and email and contact everyone because not everybody that signed up is here today. So thank you again to everyone that has signed up.
It's time for a quiz. Raise your hand if you're coming to church here next week. Very good. Because why aren't we coming here to church next week? Because we're all going to... Thank you. It was a trick question. At least one person wanted to raise his hand, and they forgot that we were going to sell them. Any other announcements this morning? Let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship as found in your worship guide. In the midst of life's storm, God is there.
What have you to fear?
In the darkness and terror, God is with us.
Of whom shall we be afraid?
Rise up, people of God, for you are the loved and saved.
Thanks be to God, who cares deeply for us.
Please join us in the opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Ever Blessing, Blue Hymn number 68.
living God. You are like the sea, powerful and endless, yet soothing and constant. Let us feel your refreshing presence as we gather near your waters to aid in the possibilities of life that you offer us this day. We ask this in the name of the one who taught us to call you, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
Let us turn our attention to the Word of God.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Church of Corinth. As we work together with him, we entreat you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. Look, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, in great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, impurity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapon of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and in good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and what we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as making nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affection, but only in yours. In return, I speak as the children. Open wide your hearts also. God is still speaking.
Thank you, God.
Please join me in the responsive reading taken from Psalm 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble.
And those who know your name, put their trust in you, for you, Lord, and not forsaken those who seek you.
Sing praises to the Lord, who dwells in Zion. Declare his deed among the people.
For he who avenges his blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted.
Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me. You are the one who lifts me up from the gates of death.
So that I may count all your graces, and in the gates of God of Zion, rejoice in your deliverance.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor perish forever.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Mark's gospel. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. How many people here have been on a cruise ship? Oh, good for you. I've only been on a small one. We went out for, it was like a 3-hour tour. I didn't get the reference. I didn't land on an island anymore. With the castaways. Well, as I said, I've only been on a smaller one. How many of us have been on a powerboat on a lake? Okay. Canoe? Or kayak? Living on Watershops Pond or Lake Massasoit, as they wish we'd call it at Springfield College, it has allowed us to be on the water numerous times. We received a canoe as a wedding gift, and we own a couple of kayaks. Given the size of the pond, we can only go so far. But I remember it being a big deal the first time I went under the bridge that connects Roosevelt Ave over the pond. I got to see the campus of Springfield College from the water. Ooh. Now, we had a Yorkshire Terrier at that time named Lily, who we learned rather quickly, was scared to death of being in the canoe. She actually climbed up my neck and wanted to sit on my head because it was as far away from the water as she could get at that point. Yep, she was actually afraid to be on that boat. Bob, the Maltese poodle, yes, I had a dog named Bob, was usually braver, but he was not a fan and thought that he should at least just sit on my lap the whole time. I can actually relate to Lily because it took me some time to agree to go out on the canoe. Now, if you were not raised to be on watercraft, the idea of stepping into any kind of smaller boat can be unnerving. The boat tends to move, and you want to grab on to something. He's like, yep. And you want to grab on to something for support. That was how I felt when we first got our boat, our little canoe, and the kayak. By the kayaks move worse. I was very concerned about first getting in the boat and then finally being seated. Now, I know this is different than a cruise ship where you don't necessarily feel anything move for a while, but, you know, sometimes change is good and you have to get yourself on a boat. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus and the disciples needed to get out of the area after he had cured someone on the Sabbath. Remember how angry the Pharisees were? So we're going back 2 weeks. Then last week, as they were walking, probably on their way to the shore, Jesus was speaking to them in parables and told the story of the mustard seed. How many of you had mustard seed moments this week? Good. All right. Some people were paying attention. I feel like I should almost give a little quiz at the start about last week's sermon, but I won't do that. Don't worry. Now, even though the author of Mark doesn't tell us, they were probably walking towards the Sea of Galilee, getting ready to get on the fishing boats. No one tells us that Jesus was nervous about getting on a boat. I say it could be the opposite. Because what did he do? He fell asleep, right? Jesus fell asleep. I don't know about you, but I cannot sleep when I am nervous or worried about something or someone. Well, the storm hits, Jesus stays asleep, right? The apostles were a bit unnerved, woken. Jesus calmed the storm and then asked the apostles question. It says, are you still without faith? I'd like to take the side of the apostles for just a moment. Maybe Jesus was a little bit grumpy. Has he been sleeping? I don't know. Maybe it's an idea that percolated through my head. I know that I don't like it when someone wakes me up from a nap and wants me to do something immediately. But they had faith. They had faith enough in Jesus that they knew that he could do something about the storm. Now, you may think I'm being a little bit blasphemous calling Jesus grumpy. But remember, he was also a person. What we're left with, though, is the concept of this act of faith. Now, we have talked before about the original audience for Mark's Gospels. Our scholars tell us that the original audience were persecuted Christians in Rome. They were reminded to hold on to their faith close as they suffered, because they were going to suffer big time. They were going to be tossed into the Colosseum and fed to the lions. That's a nice thought for a Sunday morning, isn't it? Yeah. But they were told to hold their faith close. Don't recant. Don't say that, oh, I'm not a Christian, I give up. You were right. Because they did have that opportunity to do so before they were sentenced to death. And those early Christians may have responded out loud, yes, I have faith. I can see this pending storm that's coming. That's well and good for them. What about us in 2024? We face all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of storms that wage in all of our lives. But we still get on the boat. We still do so, and then we make the decisions that we have to make. It could be the hardest thing, you know, actually getting on the boat, knowing that the possibility of a storm exists, or that choppy waters are coming, or that some disaster may befall you, but I'm getting on that boat anyway. Jim asked a question at the last church council meeting. What did you learn? What happened? Tell us about the Festival of Homiletics. I heard from the Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis, and she was one of the speakers at this Festival of Homiletics, and speaking about this very passage, she wrote, getting on that boat could be an act of faith all on its own. Just to get on the boat. Right here at First Congregational Church in Westfield, the next 5 to 10 years are going to be filled with changes. They just are. By virtue of the fact of who we are and where we are in life's journey, some things are going to change, right? But some of us will go through some other changes, and they'll say, you mean this is going to happen now to my body? Or, you want me to do what, Lord? My advice is this: embrace what is going to come our way. Think of it this way. It's not the love boat. It could be the faith boat. Get on the faith boat and take the journey to some new place that presents a challenge or even makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. This is the first act of faith. The next act of faith could be that we believe that wherever we're going to go, that Jesus is going to be with us. We can certainly trust that our faith in Jesus will help us still any storm we encounter. So I hope that we can spend some time this summer to listen and to pray and to hear so that we have enough faith that will allow all of us to answer Jesus' invitation to come, follow me. The act of faith is taking Jesus' invitation to heart. Let's get in the boat. Let's go with God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The act of faith can also be believing that another side is not only possible, but is also essential for us to be true followers. The faith boat, come aboard. We're expecting you. I would have sung it, but you would have had that tune in your head all day long. Amen. Let's just take a quiet moment of reflection. Think about our own acts of faith. As we come to prayer this morning, we're ever mindful of the joys and concerns that are listed in our worship guide. We also remember Elizabeth. We'll pray for her and for all the residents at the Quail Run home, people who are now displaced or maybe having to look for someplace else to live. We pray for Sue as she moves on into a new journey in her life. She moves from us in the coming days. We pray for those people who have asked for our prayers. We pray for Rick. We pray for Nancy as Nancy looks at the end of her life. And we pray for their family and their friends and all who love them. We pray for Armand, for Jonathan, Barbara, Ann, Jeff, Dave, Heidi, Nancy, Cassie, Kathy, Marilyn, Leslie, Tom, who is recuperating quite nicely, for Jean, Lindsay, Kurt, Ariana, Olivia, Susan, Betty, Mark, Bruce, Alan, Jody, Geneva, Janet, Kelly, Trish, Nancy, and Ed. And we remember our friends in senior care facilities for Nancy, Joan, Betty, Bob, and Leslie. And we celebrate and rejoice with our friend Joyce, who will have her birthday this week. And for all who are celebrating birthdays in the coming week and anniversaries. Of course, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. May God be with you. Please pray with me. God of all creation, who called every being into life, who is mindful of humankind in all its diversity, who embodies us with dignity, granting different gifts and talents to shape life in this world, we ask for your Spirit to unite us where we face the lack of understanding and disunity in some of our churches, in our communities, and in our countries. And in silence, we lay before you the burdens of our hearts. We ask for your Spirit to unite us in the face of the conflicts, hatred, and violation of life experienced in so many regions of the earth. And in silence, we bring to you the pain of the victims. We ask for your Spirit to unite us wherever fear prevents us from caring for our neighbor, from meeting people of different ethnicities, cultures, and faith communities with respect, And in silence, we bring to you the brokenness of human relationships. God of all creation, in Christ we are reconciled, and so we ask for your uniting spirit to help us overcome all our divisions, and that we may live in peace. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have offered unique gifts to each one of us. Teach us to celebrate and share those gifts so that we may create communities of graciousness and love. Through Jesus, we are reminded of the difference that an individual contribution can make. Let us offer our gifts generously for the service of all as our morning offering is received.
We are redeemed.
when we have nothing, you make us feel as if we have everything. May these gifts usher peace into our world, that all may know of your love and touch your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 584 in the blue hymnal, Faith of Our Fathers. Rejoice in purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. Let us go in peace.